Thank you for another opportunity to share the Word of God with you. We're going to be going over again Acts chapter 1. I've heard some preachers or some ministers, when they share something that they can be on one chapter for a year. Can you imagine studying one chapter for a whole year, 52 weeks spent on one chapter? I've heard that there are some ministers that even spend more time than 1 year. I mean, that's really talking, for me, I have trouble with one page, you know, one chapter. Anyway, I wanted to, my daughter sent me something on my phone that caught my attention. This is Luana, she's a believer. She's the one that has lupus. And I also wanted to sing a song. I want to try. I didn't know if I should sing it before this, what I want to read on my phone, or after. Maybe I should sing the song. Let's give it a try. Yes, that song, it's an old song. When I first heard it many years ago, it really spoke to my heart, and I wanted to share it with, I did at that time with many people. And it just, I found the CD, praise the Lord. Let me read to you something that, in fact, before I go any further, let's pray a moment again. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. And Father, again, we thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For without him, we would not be sitting here, Lord. Without him, we would not have the promises that we have, the assurances that we have, the forgiveness of sins, Lord, a place in heaven for all eternity. Lord, as we look around at the things that are happening, Lord, as if we watch the news, Lord, we see all the things that are going on, Lord. People are shooting and burning things, and it's just unbelievable stuff, Lord. In all my years, I've never seen anything like that. Even when I was young and there were gangs, Lord, we didn't do things like that. We had a fear of the law. And yet today, Lord, it seems that fear is going away, Lord. And how could we expect them to have a fear of the Lord? But we do pray, Father, that you'll help us to go out and share Christ with others, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. And as we sit here, Lord, and as we continue in the book of Acts, or going over some of the first chapter, Lord, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts. Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit, that it might be you speaking through me, Lord, knowing that I'm not a speaker, Lord, but you've given things to me, and I want to share it with others, Lord, that they might feel what I feel, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, that you might have all the glory. Amen. Acts chapter 1, you could turn there while I put this on. It's a text. My daughter sent it to me yesterday or day before yesterday. But the article came out about a month ago. And it talks about the House of One being built in Berlin. They're laying the first stone for a multi-faith Worship Center, a multi-faith worship center. I can't get it because my phone doesn't have some kind of access. Anyway, it's the a Protestant minister, priest, a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, and a clergy from the Muslim faith. All three of them, they're very high in their position, and they're trying to get things together. And I find that interesting, that here we sit reading about Jesus Christ, because we know that as the truth. And yet I see something like this, and I also heard not too long ago that the Pope of the Catholic Church is making some kind of arrangement also with the Muslim faith. And I think to myself, how is it possible? I mean, these are people who are smart people. I mean, again, the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I got used to saying, I'm so glad I'm stupid, you know. Yet I think about how it can be that, especially the Jewish and all three of them, in fact, because they all at one time were told, hey, it's your way. That's the way I want you to do it. The Muslim, they started their own thing. But the Protestant faith, the Christian faith, and the Jewish faith, they were known as God's people. They had the Bible. They had the Old Testament. Then they had the Full Testament. And these people who can study, they're theologians, and yet they want to get together with a Muslim faith. When the Muslim faith, what they want to do, from what I've heard and read, is kill people from the Christian faith. They want to kill you. They want to chop your heads off. I mean, I smiled, but it's crazy, and I find it hard to understand. But anyway, I'm sorry I wasn't able to read this little article, but that's what it's about, and that's what's going on today. It's amazing. It's amazing. It really amazes me that all of these things are taking place, and many of us sit in our homes ignorantly, not knowing that these things are taking place. Because, well, for whatever reason. But I hope that the little bit that I can share with you will help you to pray more about the Lord's coming, because he is coming soon. That is a promise. And he keeps his promises. Let's go over Acts chapter 1 again. And there's a couple of things that I started looking at, and I said to myself, isn't this interesting? And maybe you'll find it interesting also. Starting at verse 1 again, it says, the former account I made. This is Luke. Luke's writing. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And I thought to myself, who is this guy? Who is Theophilus? He mentions him in the Gospel of Luke. He addresses the letter, the Gospel, to Theophilus. And I said to myself, why should he address it to him? Who is he? And I couldn't find much. The little bit that I did find was in Philippians. Well, in the notes of the Bible, it says that the name is Man of God. Man of God. Why would he's most likely a centurion, a Roman, goes to show you. Philippians, there's a place in Philippians 4. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Philippians chapter 4, where at the end of it, Paul is saying, all the saints, in verse 22, all the saints greet you, but especially, that I also found interesting, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Why would he say especially? Is it because it's unusual that those in Caesar's household, which would include the soldiers, and it's possible that they came to know Christ, especially since they were chained to the Apostle Paul when he had been arrested. But again, I couldn't find much except for that. O Theophilus. Verse 2 says, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit. It is mentioned more than 50 times, as I mentioned the first time. I read through the book of Acts. I found in one form or another the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God 53 times in the chapter of Acts. I guess he's kind of important, right? To have your person identified 53 times. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Many teachings were taught to the disciples, to the apostles during those 40 days. Scripture doesn't identify those things in particular, but we do as we read Scripture and as we read the letters to the churches, we will see things that were taught by the Lord. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. The promise of the Father. Again, Scripture assures us so much that God does not lie. When God says something, a thought came into my head just now about a movie. And I've heard the expression a couple of times, and usually it's a bad guy saying it. You can take it to the bank. That kind of assurance where the expression, you can take it to the bank, means it's a sure thing. And this promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think I would have loved being a believer back then, even though I appreciate the way it is right now. But back then, they didn't know about this baptism thing. So when it happened to them, it was a really extra special thing. And I guess I could compare that to when I got saved at the age of 33. I had a life that wasn't too nice. In fact, it wasn't very nice at all. But there was such a change in my life that I went from darkness to light. And it was literally like going from it. One of my grandsons, he's 19 now, but when he was younger, we were in the basement of the house, and the lights went out. There was only one window, in one of these rooms of the basement, and where we were standing, no windows. So there was an outage. The electric power, when it went out, it went completely black. I mean, little, you know the expression, you can't see your hand before your face? That's how it was. It was that dark. And he started to get scared. I can hear it in his voice. And I said, Jared, don't be afraid. Just the lights that went out, it's okay. Take my hand. Which is another interesting thing. Take my hand. How we have the opportunity, wherever we are, to take the hand of our Lord and Savior. No matter what's going on in our life, whether it's a bad thing or a good thing, we can take the hand of our Savior. Well, I'm not a Savior for him, but I'm his grandfather. Anyway, I said, take my hand. And he took my hand. It's amazing the assurance that he felt. And within seconds, the lights went on. And it caused me to remember Scripture, going from darkness to light. But when that happens to you, you could literally, well, unless it's happened to you, you don't really know what it's like to understand the things of God, to see what he's actually done for us, to take us from a world of darkness, even though we're still living in it. We still see all the bad things that go on. In fact, sometimes we're even doing some of those things. Hopefully not the really bad things, but we find ourselves doing certain things. I know in particular people that when they catch themselves in a certain situation, they lie. They don't want to get in trouble, so they lie. Even if it's a simple thing, like my father, when I first got saved, I'd be in his house and the phone would ring, and he said, get the phone. I'd pick up the phone. This was when I was a Christian already. And I would say, it was the name of the landlord of the house. I can't remember right now, a Jewish name. And I spoke loudly so my father could hear me, and he went like this. I'm not here. And I said, Pop, that's what I call him, Pop, I'm not going to do that. You know, I covered the phone. I said, I'm not going to do this. He said, what? No, just tell him I'm not here. I said, no, I am not going to lie for you. He says, well, yeah, it's not lying. You know, it's not lying. Anyway, it's, again, the assurance, I was able to tell my grandson the difference. I could use it as an example. I don't know if he understood it at the time, that the Bible, when God saves you, that's what it's like. It's like going from that dark room where you can't see anything into light, where you can see everything that's in the room. It's an amazing thing. It's also that way with his word, with the truth. When God gives you his Holy Spirit, you could read something in Scripture, and you don't have to necessarily understand it right away. But when God wants you to understand a portion, it's amazing how he opens our eyes. He literally opens our eyes. And this can be when you're young or when you're more mature, like some of us. We could have read the portion of Scripture hundreds of times. And yet one day, God opens our eyes, and it means something different. It's amazing how God can do things through the power of his Spirit. And this wouldn't happen to us. We wouldn't be able to see this light or understand this portion of Scripture without that Holy Spirit. It may seem like a simple thing. It may even sound kind of boring, because you don't get excited about it. I happen to get excited about it. I still feel like when I first got saved, maybe even more close to the Lord, but I don't vocalize it as much as I should. But I do love the Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm saved. And I say it to friends in the street. When I go to places like Home Depot, that's one of my favorite stores. My wife's is Walmart. I like Home Depot. Anyway, I find myself witnessing to the people on the aisles. Not every day, but I do, very often. The cashier, and sometimes I know it's of the Lord, when they stay there and they want to hear about it. And I see people, you know, behind me waiting to get, you know, to be cashed out. And I start saying to myself, trying to find a way of ending it so I can let the other people. And they continue to ask me questions. And I walk out of the store saying, Lord, I'm sorry, which is silly. But then I say to myself, but it must have been your will for that person to want to hear more in spite of the people standing behind me. It's an amazing thing how God works in the lives of his children. Verse 6 says, let's do 5 again. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When a person gets saved today, they are instantly baptized with the Holy Spirit. There are some believers, my brother was one of them, they call themselves charismatic believers. They believe that you can become saved and that unless you've spoken in tongues at a later date, you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, we used to have some disagreements in T and I, but my belief as I study scriptures, you are instantly baptized by the Holy Spirit when you accept Christ as your Savior. What you need to do, or what has to happen to you, is you have to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that comes through the reading of the Word. Verse 6 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Today, that can happen to us too. We have a question about Scripture. What does this mean? And we may not understand it. And sometimes we may get a little disillusioned or upset even about it. But I can let you know, you don't have to worry about it. Just keep on reading. The Lord will open your eyes one day, and you will understand it. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. My wife and I were visiting our daughter who just moved into a new home. And a nephew of mine, who I hadn't seen for many years and was single for a long time, finally has met someone. And it turned out that they had met 16 years ago, he was telling us. They met in Emmaus Bible College. And then they both left the college, went into the world. She got married, had 2 children. He didn't. But here it is, 15, 16 years later, they meet again at a conference. And for some reason, they start to look at each other, and that amazes me how God created people. I look at a couple, and when they like each other, they tell each other that by looking at each other. You know, they speak with their eyes. You can tell. And the more they look at each other, the more they appreciate each other. And they don't have to be pretty, you know? I'm not pretty. And yet, for some reason, my wife looked at me and said, he's okay, you know, I'll take him, you know? And it was good enough. And here we are, over 50 years later, praise the Lord. There's been ups and downs, but again, the marriage really changed when we got saved. something again. Something happens. That verse in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, like I was mentioning last week. When you become a believer, we're supposed to. I mean, that in the marriage vows, in those words you say when you get married, you promise to love each other. But I found, maybe it's me, but it might be some of you also, that when you come to know Christ as your Savior, when you ask God for something, He promises. This is how we can know that He will give us the answer to those promises. He can cause a man to love his wife, not exactly as Christ loved the church, but there is something like it. And the longer you ask the Lord to do it, in hard times when things, we don't disagree, it's amazing the love that you can have for your spouse when you submit to the Lord. Verse 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, well, and our brother mentioned that this morning, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, I wonder how long they were looking up. When they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Do we remember in John chapter 14, a portion of scripture that I've read, that I've read many times, John 14, 1. If you want to turn there, fine. There's a portion where the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples. 14:1 says, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Can you imagine Jesus telling you this? And when I say, can you imagine it? We're reading it. So in a sense, he is telling us this. But I mean, what would it be like if you can actually envision, maybe close your eyes and envision the Lord Jesus Christ talking to you and saying, Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Again, he tells us this in his word. But sometimes, even as a Christian, people can read this, they know what it's saying, but yet it doesn't sound real to them. I know it. I read it a few times before it really struck me. And it's interesting how here, one of his disciples, verse 5, Thomas, after being with him for quite a while, listening to his messages, hearing his promises, seeing the things that Jesus did, Thomas says in verse 5, Jesus said to him, Lord, We don't know the way. We do not know where you are going. Now, again, Jesus just said, you know the way. And Thomas says, we don't know the way. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is what Scripture teaches us. We think about these three people in this article, the Protestant, the rabbi, and the Muslim. They all three believe that they are representatives of the one true God. They all believe that what they teach is true. But Jesus said, he is the way, the only way. He is the truth. They believe that they're teaching the truth, but Jesus says, he's the truth. He says he's the life. We can't have life. All the troubles that we go, like the song said, I give you Jesus. When we accept that gift, our lives can change. Our lives do change. And yet, and I guess you can include the Catholic minister, the Pope, in this situation. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think I remember hearing on TV that the Catholic Church has over 1 billion followers. That's unbelievable. 1 billion followers. What do you do with that verse that says the road that leads to damnation is very wide and many, many follow that road? Could you imagine what it's going to be like to have 1 billion people? That's just on the Catholic faith. Lost in eternity. Not by their choice. I'm sure they didn't want to say, well, we don't want to believe the truth of the Bible. We want to believe what the Catholic Church teaches. They were deceived into this. This is why it's important for those of us that know the Lord to witness to people. We don't have to ask them what faith they're in. It doesn't matter. But I'm sure somewhere along the line you're going to meet Catholics. And they call themselves Christians, by the way. But they aren't Christians. Not according to Scripture. Verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. I'm kind of glad. I didn't do it, but there have been a couple of times that I've wanted to say, I want to find out how long a Sabbath day's journey is. You know, whether it's 6 hours, 8 hours. And I think about all they did back then was walk. Every place that they went, they walked. I look pudgy. I am pudgy. There's a commercial on TV that says something like that. Are you pudgy? I always say, what do you mean pudgy? You know. Anyway, I have doctors who all tell me, Jay, you got to lose some weight. And I said, well, yeah, I love eating. My wife's a great cook. You know, I could be outside and you know how the exhaust takes the smell of the food outside. I can smell it outside and I come inside just to be, it's amazing. Anyway, they tell me then, well, say, at least exercise, 15 minutes a day. Just take a walk. Take a walk. They say, take a walk. I don't even like to walk. It's really, can you imagine if my salvation depended on walking? I would not be on my way to heaven. There are so many things that you could compare when it comes to salvation, being saved by grace, that it's a gift. We don't have to work for it. But when the doctors tell me, take a walk, 15 minutes. And I say, not even 15 minutes. I don't like to walk. They say, do you do any walking? Maybe I've said this before. Maybe you've heard me say it. And I say, yeah, I do. It's, I do some walking. Where? In the house, from when I walk from the rocking chair to the refrigerator. And they say, well, that's good. How far is that? I say, well, 20 feet, 25 feet. Well, that's good. Do that 15, 20 times and you have it. I said, that'll be it. And I said, no, that's no good. Why? Well, because when I get up to walk to the refrigerator, I'm going to get something. I'm not going to waste the walk. I get something, so it does no good. We are, in one way or another, and I know that there are very people out there that when the doctors say, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be a doctor, listen, your heart needs exercise. You got to exercise because, and I know that exercise is good. Scripture talks about exercise. Not much, but it does. It even says, and I used to hear this on the job, where people say, exercise. And I say, well, it's physical exercise profits little. So why bother? Jack LaLanne, which I think it's only going to be the older people in here, would remember Jack LaLanne. He used to be on television. He was in great shape into his old age. He even used to do an exercise, which I used to find so funny, where he'd open and close his mouth wide, And if you do it in public, you look kind of silly, But and that was to exercise the muscles in the neck. So he was in great shape, but you know what? He died. And I don't think he was saved. As far as I know. Can you imagine going through all those years, day in, day out, exercising so you could live longer? 80, 100 years? How long is that in comparison to eternity? Not even the blink of an eye in comparing to eternity. So yes, it's important. Exercise. My wife says, I don't mind if you die. Just don't get sick, then I'd have to take care of you. Now, whether she means that or not, I don't know. I hope not. But it is important. But it's more important to get your relationship with the Lord settled. I hope, I believe that everyone that's in this room is a believer. Hermana, ahora que te miré, perdona que no hablaba en español, pero no sabía que tú iba a venir y no tuve tiempo para estudiar en español. La próxima vez lo voy a hacer. Okay. I was just asking her to forgive me because I didn't know she was going to be here. If I would have known, I would have studied a little bit to translate it into Spanish. But anyway, I have 3 minutes, and I didn't go very far. There are still so many things in this chapter, and maybe the next time we'll go a little further. The walk of the believer. There really is so much. I think I'm going to end with this. The names of the apostles. I was going to look that up in the chapter that their names is where their names are, but we'll just leave that for another time. Father, we thank you.